Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Well, I didn't think I'd be back for a while, but I got a renewed sense of energy here, so I'm going to go ahead and put a show out this week. If you were listening last week, you know, you probably heard me mention that it looks like I may have had a reoccurrence of my cancer. My lymphoma may have come back. I'm still going through a lot of testing and doctor's visits and things to try to figure out what's going on. I'm taking a little bit of a break from my full-time job. I'm doing some work, not my normal schedule. But I got to do this podcast, man. I just can't seem to get away from this too much because I love the subject of self-defense and I love the subject of the Second Amendment, guns, protecting ourselves, protecting our individual freedoms, and that's what this is about. So this is a practical show done by guess who? Practical guy. That's me. Just a Yankee with a gun. Born in New York City, raised in Wisconsin. Now I live in the great gun-friendly state of Texas, San Antonio, to be exact. Well, this week, I'm going to talk a little bit about an email that I received regarding subcompact 1911s. A few weeks ago, I made a comment that one of the things I didn't like about 1911s, especially the subcompact 1911s, is that they're not always real reliable. And, you know, I don't hate 1911s. Not quite sure how that got started, but I own 1911s. I'm not a huge fan of the subcompact 1911s, the little 3-inch version. But one emailer emailed me, one listener, and I can't remember his name. I'm doing a little bit of driving right now, so I'm going to ask him up front to please forgive me for not mentioning his first name. But he emailed me and he said, "Hey Bob, quite the contrary." He said, "I have a subcompact 1911 that is wonderful." He's got a Sig Sauer Ultra. I think it's a 3.3 inch, a Sig Sauer Ultra 1911. And I've actually done some research. I have to say I've never shot a Sig Sauer 1911 Ultra. I own a Sig Sauer RCS 45 ACP, which is the CCO model, commander length slide and barrel with a officer's grip. Makes it a dream to carry. I think it's one of the best carrying pistols that I own. I'll put that disclaimer out there. One of the best carrying pistols that I own. In other words, the way it balances and the way it feels. I have, however, heard some very, very good things about these Sig Ultras. So I'm not surprised that this listener sent me this. How about you? Do you own a Sig Ultra? I'd like to hear. You can send me an email, voicemail. Voicemails are great. You heard last week some voicemails, and I'd love to put you on. But I'd like to get your feedback. Now, one thing I like about the Sig Ultra, I'm going to compliment Sig Sauer on what they do with this pistol. I had a chance to handle one in a gun store one time. Again, never shot it. It should have come home with me. I'll tell you what. You know what? Have you ever seen a pistol in a gun store that just should have come home with you? You probably can relate to me on that one. This was one with the G10 grips. It had a magwell on the bottom of the magazine. It had the G10 grips. It was real nice, stainless slide. Good, just a good feeling gun. Like I said, should have come home with me. Sig's barrel length is a little bit longer. It's a 3.3 inch, so it's a little over 3 1/4. Sometimes you see Kimbers or some Springfields with a 3-inch barrel, or some of the other ultra compacts out there. You see them. Now I'm talking 45 ACP. You see them with a 3.3 inch barrel on the Sig, a little bit more than 3 1/4. The conventional wisdom is the longer the barrel length on a 1911, the closer it is to 5 inches, the more reliable pistol it is. But this listener claims that his Sig Ultra at 3.3 inches is nice. It also gives you a nice almost 5-inch sight radius and only weighs 28 ounces. Now, that's not really all that much for a 1911. As I've mentioned before, some of the problems with 1911s is once you load them up full of 45 ACP ammo, especially if you're putting big 230 grain loads in there, they get heavy. And of course, you got your mag capacity. Your mag capacity on those small guns, without lengthening the length of the grip, which is the hardest part to conceal, you're only at 7 rounds in the mag plus 1 in the gun. So you have an 8-round pistol. It's not bad. you've heard me mention before, talk about the fact that, boy, 8 rounds is about as low as I would ever want to go if I'm going to try to use something as a primary gun. I feel much more comfortable with 10 or more. A Glock 26, an M&P 9 compact, which I have, or larger. That's for a primary gun. That's where my comfort level is. But if your comfort level is at 8, then go for it. But a nice long sight radius, so you can get some pretty good accurate shots. And I heard that they're very, very reliable. He says his is extremely reliable, and that's good. I'm not saying don't invest in a short 1911, an ultra compact, or a SIG Ultra or something like that. But if you're gonna do that, shoot it a lot, give it the 1,000 round trigger job, as you heard Andy last week talk about. Practice, be good with it. Now, for the money, what I like about SIG Ultras, they come with night sights. You can get them with night sights. And by the way, SIG's night sights are great. I highly compliment SIG. They do a good job. Their sight picture's pretty good. The sight picture's good. The night sights work well. They do what they're supposed to do. And I'm a believer. I like them. I like the night sights that came on my SIG Sauer RCS. Mine's a 4-inch, by the way. A little over 4. I think it's like 4 1/3. SIG kind of has some odd sizes on their barrels and their slide lengths. But that's okay. Jason Christensen at Concealment Solutions made me a real nice black Mamba holster for it. That SIG Sauer RCS carries wonderfully. I'm probably going to get an ASP, an ASP 2.0, so I can appendix carry that SIG Sauer RCS. And by the way, these little SIG Ultras probably would be wonderful for appendix carry. If you have some experience appendix carrying one of these guns, let me know. Love to hear your feedback on that. And that's probably where these little short 1911s can really shine, is if you're going to appendix carry and you don't want a whole lot of gun protruding and pinching you and making it uncomfortable and things like that. But it's a 1911. Their triggers are good. SIG's out-of-the-box triggers are not as good as some of the really high-end brands. Good enough. For a defensive pistol, good enough. I mean, it's all about practice. It's all about practice, 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 practice. It's not about going and mechanically doing fancy trigger jobs. It's about practice, practice, practice. After all, it's a single-action 1911 trigger. You can't shoot that, you need more training. That's just kind of the way I feel about that. They say 5-pound trigger length, trigger pull, excuse me. On their website, they say 5 pounds. I've heard some people talk about their SIG Ultras. Some say they break a little bit more than 5 pounds, and some say that they break under 5 pounds. And I think, it's how much you've shot with it. You break those, you wear those parts in, they wear into each other, they smooth out. So think about that. If I were to get a SIG Ultra, they're hard to find, but I would look for one of those with the G10 grips and the magwell on the bottom. The magwell adds like maybe only a quarter of an inch to the length of the grip. That quarter of an inch to me makes zero difference in concealing for me, but it makes a world of difference in being able to hold on to the pistol, have gripping surface, and comfort. Not that you couldn't add that on. I would add a magwell on if you wanted to and add the G10 grips on. But if you can find one, that's what I would highly recommend. Now, like a SIG Sauer, like any 1911, they're not cheap. They are, after all, a 1911-style pistol. So they're not cheap. But they're good ones. And, you know, for some reason, SIGs don't get talked a lot about in the 1911 community. They've been making them for quite a while. By the way, I want to correct something else. In one of my recent episodes, I mentioned that SIG does not make a classic style 1911. And yes, they do. So let me correct that. Another listener emailed me and corrected me on that. So thank you very much. They do now make the classic 1911. So if you're more of a traditionalist, you can get those. You know, most of the SIG 1911s have, most of the new ones have squared slides, a little bit odder length of barrels and slides. You can get holsters for them. One of the criticisms of SIG holsters, or SIG 1911s, they used to be criticized because they were hard to get holsters. Not anymore. They're popular enough. The good holster makers are making them. Like I mentioned, Jason Christensen at Concealment Solutions, he'll make you a SIG 1911 holster all you want. So check him out at concealmentsolutions.com. I love the looks. If you're into looks of 1911s, I kind of like the looks of SIG 1911s. I think they're kind of cool. The picture I'm looking at is a black-colored frame, rosewood wood grips, stainless slide, stainless beaver-tail grip safety, stainless skeletonized trigger. I think that's kind of a cool look, kind of a two-tone look. And you can also get them in all black and all that kind of stuff. But I think that's kind of cool. What I did, by the way, on my SIG 1911 is I didn't like the slide stop that came with it. So I did buy a Wilson Combat bulletproof slide stop. And I dropped that in. I just like it a lot better. Seems more durable. Seems to just be tighter fitting all around. And it seems to... I just like it better. Plus, it's stainless. I kind of wanted that part to be stainless. You know, hey, if you're going to buy a 1911, you know, okay, get invested in the looks a little bit of it, huh? How about that? If you're going to buy a 1911, get invested in the looks. Unless you're the kind of person that likes those old classic looks, like the 1911 was originally built. Maybe you like that. Maybe you're a traditional person. I like the new style 1911s. If I'm going to get a 1911, I like the new style 1911s. I don't like the old World War II style 1911s. I like the newer ones with the high-rise beaver tail grip safety, you know, the special hammers. The triggers, yeah, I can take the triggers either way. It doesn't matter. But I like those. I like undercut trigger guards so that with my middle finger I got a little bit more room. I can get a little bit higher grip on the 1911 versus the older style. I kind of like that. SIG does that a little bit. They put some nice checkering. I like checkering on the front strap. In other words, the front of the grip. I like to have checkering there, especially in the hot days here in the Texas heat when I'm shooting. Keeps my hand from slipping so much. And think about it. If you have to use this gun in self-defense, what if you live in a hot climate? Your hands are sweaty. Maybe you're working or something. Or something's going on. Your hands are sweaty. You get attacked. That unfortunate day comes that none of us ever want to have to face. But you got to pull your 1911 out and defend yourself. You want it to slip in your hand? So have a good positive grip on it. Now, if you don't have checkering on your 1911, a trick I've been using for years, skateboard tape. It works great. I use the real fine stuff. I get skateboard tape, put a little tiny strip of skateboard tape on the front strap. It stays there. I probably only have to replace it once a year at the most. And that gives me the same type of gripping service as checkering does. For me, anyway. Now, if the gun comes with checkering, that's preferable. But if it doesn't, put skateboard tape on there. Speaking of checkering, I think SIG does it just right. They put 25 lines per inch. I've seen 20 lines per inch of checkering, and I've seen 30. 30 is a little too fine for me. 20 is too rough. I like the middle, 25. That's the cool thing about skateboard tape, by the way. That's the cheap fix. If you put a piece of skateboard tape on the front strap and it's not to your liking, take it off, find a different style, put that on. Keep switching out until you find something that you like. Isn't that cool, huh? See, for us everyday people like you and I, we like those cheap fixes, don't we? We like those that are easy to do, cheap to switch out. You don't have to be a gunsmith to figure this kind of stuff out. Now, the other thing I like about SIG Ultra is they've been out for a while. They're not new. They're relatively, they've been out for a while. This is not something that SIG is just introducing to the market right now. So, yeah, first of all, they can support it. They support it very well. If it's not reliable, if it's not flawless out of the box, or if it's not at least really reliable after you've broken it in. Don't forget break-in. Why do people shy away? Why do they not like a break-in period? You ever notice that? Why do people not like a break-in period? There are two reasons for a break-in period. Not just the gun, but also for the shooter. Would you agree with me on that? Think about it. The shooter needs a break-in period. You have to get used to your gun. You have to know how to shoot it, where it shoots, where the point of aim, where the point of impact is. This is a life-saving tool, ladies and gentlemen. Break yourself into it. Please don't be so arrogant to think that you can shoot real well all the time with every gun you pick up just because you've been shooting all your life. Go through the break-in period. Your life is worth that. Your money is worth that, is it not? You got a family to protect, don't you? You have a family to live for. That's what I'm trying to do. First battle I'm trying to win is beat my cancer, so I can stay here and live for my family. The second battle I'm going to fight is to protect that life with a firearm in case somebody tries to hurt me or my family. So you're worth that. Break in your gun. Get some good ammo. Get some good training. If your gun's not running right, make it run right. Get used to it and learn it. Even a subcompact 1911, a little ultra-compact 1911 that works right, runs right in the hands of a good, well-trained owner is awesome. It's a great weapon. You're going to stop a bad guy from messing with you or your family with that weapon. So go for it. Don't complain. I hate internet commandos that get on forums and complain about break-in periods and all. They say, well, you shouldn't buy this gun because you got to break this thing in 250 to 500 rounds before it's reliable. So what? That's a good thing. Do you have to do that with a Glock or an M&P or an XD? Probably not. Again, you should do it anyway. Like I said, 1,000-round trigger job. How about a 2,000-round trigger job? How about two or three training classes under your belt? How about you come train with Ben and I at Beyond Concealed Carry for a day? How about if you go to a Suarez International class? How about if you go to a Mag 40 class? How about if you go to Chaz the Unnamed Trucker's class? He's a Mag 40 instructor. Just went through a real nice instructor development course also. He's rising up. How about go to one of John Hottaway's classes? John Hottaway is an excellent teacher. I've taught with him. I've trained with him. Go take these good classes. John Payne, Suarez International, any of the SI instructors. Top-notch people. They run a really good organization. You folks up in the Pacific Northwest, Firearms Academy of Seattle, Marty Hayes. Go to Rangemaster. Go with Tiger McKee and learn how to run your 1911. Take that course. Fighting with the 1911 by Tiger McKee. I'll try to Google that and put a link in the show notes for you. That's important stuff. So, you know, I remember Rob Pincus. Remember when he put that challenge out? That if anybody could come to one of his classes with a subcompact 1911, and if they could make it through his class without a major malfunction, his two-day 800 to 1,000-round class or something like that without a malfunction, that he would buy, he reimbursed their class course, I think it was. They could have the class for free. I never heard how any of that turned out, if he ever paid off on any of that. You know what I wish he would have said? I wish he would have said if anybody could come with any subcompact gun and make it through his class, he'd pay for the class. I've seen subcompact Glocks jam. Yes, I have. I've seen subcompact Smith & Wesson M&Ps jam. Uh-huh. I've seen XDs by Springfield jam. Yes, I've seen plenty of subcompact 1911s jam. What's the point? They all do. I'm sure Rob was picking on the subcompact 1911s. Now, there are certain brands that have had issues. Certain brands who I won't call out here on this podcast, but you know who I'm talking about, don't you? They've had issues. In fact, that was the brand that he had showed in that advertisement. He showed that brand of pistol in the YouTube part of that advertisement. And if you've watched it, just go to YouTube and watch it. You'll find it. You know, search something like Rob Pincus Ultra 19 or 1911 Subcompact Challenge or whatever. Yeah, I thought he made a fairly good point, but I think he was picking too specifically on a certain platform and a certain brand of pistol. Just kind of my thought on that. Just a respectful opinion. Okay, now getting back to the Sig Ultras here for a minute. You know what, let's take a break. And then after this break, I got more to say on SIG Ultras and Ultra Compact 1911s.
An exciting training opportunity is coming to Sioux Falls on May 16th and 17th, 2015, Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. This 16-hour course is designed for the concealed carrier who is slightly more advanced but has never had any formal training outside of the CCW course. We start with the basics of handgun safety and marksmanship and quickly progress to some basic dynamic movement and defensive scenarios. Some scenarios would include shooting from cover and proper use of cover, shooting on the move, shooting steel on the move, defending hallways, one-handed shooting, the art of making hits quickly out of the holster, shooting a hostage taker, and more. You will shoot a minimum of 500 rounds of ammunition. Bring a quality handgun with at least 3 magazines, holster, belt, and magazine pouches. Revolvers and .22 caliber pistols are welcome. Both Bob and Ben are NRA certified pistol instructors and have been for several years. Bob has been the host of the Handgun World podcast for 4 years and has over 120 hours of training under his belt. Ben has several years of Marine combat experience and several years of carrying a gun as an armored car driver. This class will be held in Sioux Falls May 16th and 17th, 2015 from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. both days. Cost is $350 per person or sign up by December 31st and save $50. Look for the training link at handgunworld.com.
Okay, well, up until this point, I've been talking a lot about subcompact 1911s in 45 ACP. Let me shift a little bit to 9mm versions. Springfield has had the EMP pistol out, and I'm pretty sure that stands for Enhanced Micro Pistol. They've had that out for quite a while. I've heard mostly good things about it. Now, again, you know, I'm breaking some of my own rules here. Some of my own rules that I've had on this show for years is to not spend a lot of time reviewing guns that I haven't owned or shot. And I'm breaking a couple of those rules. But I'm going by based on the basis of what I've seen. And people have brought Springfield EMPs through our classes that I've been involved in being either a participant in or teaching. The EMP, for the most part, is a pretty solid little 1911. Magazines can somewhat be an issue. You have to make sure, I'm pretty sure they're proprietary magazines. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure you have to use Springfield's magazines that they supply with it. And you have to, I would suggest, have lots of them. Have 6 to 10 of them. Make sure they're all reliable. If they're not, make them reliable. What a dream to shoot, though. It's a nice pistol. Once again, comes with night sights. More of a traditional style 1911. Springfield does not use any of the firing pin safeties in their 1911, so they don't on this one either, which I kind of like. You know, a little knock on the SIG or a lot of the 1911s out there. They use those firing pin safeties. I don't know why. It's possible to design a 1911 without having to put that firing pin safety in there. Don't know why a lot of manufacturers don't do it. These are not striker-fired guns. So, my opinion, if you design it properly, you don't need to put the firing pin safety in that gun. But, I digress. Anyway, Springfield, the EMP, a little bit more expensive. But it is in 9mm, so if someone's recoil sensitive to the 45, not bad. 9 rounds in the magazine, 1 in the chamber. So now you got a 10 round gun. About the same weight, about the same length, about the same height. A scary accurate gun. Now you have the same kind of gun in 9mm, packing more rounds. Put some good quality ammo in there. I would say that the Springfield EMPs, from what I've seen, are more ammo finicky. You can't treat them like a striker-fired Glock, M&P, XD, SIG, anything like that. You can't treat them like that. You can't just stuff any old ammo in there that you can buy on sale and run it like a top. It just doesn't quite work. They're a little bit more... They're tighter built. Their tolerances are tighter. They don't just quite accept anything you can throw in there. But so what? See, from a practice standpoint, I think that's actually, it's not a bad thing. You learn how to manage malfunctions, which you could have, and you better learn how to manage those. Now, from a defensive standpoint, if you have something like a Springfield EMP 9mm, 9mm 1911, find out which defensive ammo works real well and stick with it. Your pistol might like just a few certain types of hollow point 9mm ammo, stick with it. Buy lots of it, and stick with it. Buy one box at a time, see what it likes, take good notes, and stay with that ammo to carry. Stuff anything you want in there for practice, but stay with your camo, your carry ammo for carrying around. All right? But that's another one to consider. Now, if you're on a strict budget, if you're on a really, really, really strict budget, you may want to just forget everything I've said so far in this episode. I'm not talking about inexpensive guns here. I'm talking about guns that are going to cost you. But I go back to the question, how much is your life worth? That's your question to answer and your question alone to answer. You really want to get real expensive? Go to a Nighthawk 1911 lightweight. Go to some of the other custom manufacturers. Buy a Dan Wesson ECO. I think that stands for Executive Carry Officer. They make those in 45 and in 9mm. Dan Wesson makes some very, very nice 1911s. They're not highly custom, but I'll tell you what, for a production gun, a Dan Wesson 1911 is probably one of the higher-end production 1911s that you can buy. The Dan Wesson ECO. Check that out. A lot of really good reviews on that. Pretty much the same size as a Sig Ultra. You know, I've actually had a chance to... I haven't. That was a different Dan Wesson. I thought I had a chance to handle a Dan Wesson ECO in the gun store, but I didn't. It was a 4-inch model. It was a commander-sized Dan Wesson. And by the way, even though I'm talking about ultra-compact 1911s, let me shift gears for just a little bit. The commander size. Let's talk about the commander size 1911s. The 4-inch barrel to 4.25-inch barrel. Not quite a full 5-inch 1911, but let's talk about 4 to 4.25s. Depends on how you're going to carry it. I find no difference in carrying a commander 1911 versus an ultra compact if I'm going to carry it strong side hip. For me personally, I would not see the need to stepping down to a shorter gun. If I'm going to appendix carry, absolutely. Then I'll step to a shorter gun. But my Sig Sauer RCS, which is a little over 4-inch barrel, and that shorter grip, it's fine. It's perfect. And the reliability is outstanding on that gun. Like I said, the only major criticism I have is the original recoil spring that Sig sent out. Didn't last very long. By the way, pay attention to your recoil springs. If you're going to get a small Ultra 1911, they chew up recoil springs like nobody's business. Have plenty of those. Find out which ones work real well. Buy lots of them. Okay? And pay attention to that. Pay attention to consistently changing out your recoil spring assembly, because that will cause malfunctions and that will cause your pistol to not run right. So pay close attention to that. But getting back to what I was saying, you know, for me, the commander size, not a big deal. And I get that little extra sight radius, I get the extra barrel length for better velocity, I get a little bit more reliability, it doesn't have much weight. What is it, a couple of ounces of weight? That's nothing. So if I'm going to carry a gun like that, for me, I'm probably not going to appendix carry it, I'm probably going to strong side hip carry it. And so therefore, for me, it's a commander-sized, which I have, or a mid-size, whatever you want to call it, 1911, and carry it that way. So just a thought. But primarily, this is about the ultra-compact 3 to 3.25-inch barrel length 1911s. Now, I was on the subject of the Springfield EMP 9mm. 9mm 1911s have come a long way. You know, when I first started doing this, when I first started shooting, paying attention to it in late 2005, you know, everybody was shying away from the 1911, from the 9mm 1911, except for the competition shooters. The competition shooters in IDPA and USPSA loved them, and still do. And they had their big STIs and things like that, their big STI 9mm. That was the real rage when I first started, the STI 9mm 1911 competition race gun. I didn't see or hear or read a lot about people carrying them, but I think manufacturers come a long way. I think they're catering towards shooters who prefer the 9mm. They prefer more rounds. Maybe they don't want the they're recoil sensitive to the 45. Perhaps female shooters seem to like them quite a bit. So there's been a resurgence, seems like, to me anyway, in the 9mm version of the 1911. And people say, oh, that's not the way the gun was originally designed. True. That's true. The gun was not originally designed to be a 9mm, was it? And it didn't earn its reputation based on a 9mm platform. But you know, this is 2014. This is the world of high technology. We have iPhone 6s for now. How about that, huh? We got the iPhone 6 Plus is out. We have all this really cool technology that we're all going nuts over. How come we can't go nuts over gun technology? Why not? Why is there a shy away from gun technology for some people? Seems like most people are embracing the new gun technology, just like the iPhone 6s or the Samsung Galaxy S5s or whatever's out there right now, or the fancy computers and stuff. It's kind of funny. People are weird sometimes. They want to have these old guns, right? They want to carry these old 1911s, revolvers, Browning high powers, whatever they have. But they have to have the latest and greatest electronic technology. Don't get it. Of course, here I am sitting in an old car. What does that tell you? It tells you I'm cheap. Actually, I'm driving my wife's newer car right now. It's a 2007. Boy, isn't that new, huh? The other one we have is a 2002. This one's a 2007. Older paid for cars. High mileage. That's the way to go. No car payments. Get me around just fine. I can do the Handgun World Mobile Studio stuff like I'm doing right now. Talk to you. Get where I need to go, no problem. So let's embrace new gun technology. Let's decide that we're going to support the new technology to defend our life. Just like we support new technology for most everything else we do to make our lives better. Most likely, pretty soon, I'm about to go into some very, very high-tech, new technology medical treatments to fight my cancer. Why wouldn't I want to do that? That's a life-saving measure, is it not? That's a life-saving measure. Why would I want to say, no, give me the old treatment. Give me the old treatment from 20 to 25 years ago. No way. I want to save my life. Give me the best cancer treatment that's available on the market today so I can beat this and keep talking to you folks. You see, why don't we apply that same technology or that same thinking to our firearms and our ammunition? How about that for a thought? Okay, well, my energy level is not quite what it used to be. So I'm going to cut back this show in length. We're coming to the close of this show right now. I do want to say there are several classes. Unfortunately, it does not look like I'm going to be able to make the October 18th class that I have scheduled in California, and it's strictly due to health. It's strictly due to health. October 18th is not very far away. Probably by the time that most of you listen to this podcast, I'm going to be setting some things in motion for more treatments, and some of them could be pretty intense treatments. So, like I said, if these podcasts are sporadic, you'll know why. You'll know Bob Main from the Handgun World Podcasts is probably in a hospital or testing center somewhere trying to beat what he's fighting. So that's the biggest reason why I'm not going to California. For those of you who are signed up for the September 27th class in Houston, I'll be at that one. That's coming up real quick. I don't think I'll be in any kind of treatment on a Saturday to where I can't be at that class. So I'll be there, I'll be training, I'll be shooting, I'll be doing as much as I absolutely can. For those of you signed up for the Dallas class, the Dallas class in November, that one's 50-50. Not quite sure if I'm going to be there or not. If I can make it, I'm going. If not, Ben Branham's going to go up there and teach it by himself. He's awesome. Ben's a terrific trainer. So for those of you signed up in November for Pistol Fighting Dynamics, Art of Making the First Hit, Ben and I have talked about it. He's going up there. Sioux Falls, South Dakota next May. I have every intention of being at that one. Keep signing up. Got a lot of signups for that one. Okay? So check handgunworld.com. You'll see all of the class listings up there. And don't forget about the Shooters Club. Had a lot of nice Shooters Club signups lately. You can't make it to one of Ben and I's classes if you go to ShootersClubMembers.com or the Shooters Club page at HandgunWorld.com. You can sign up for $75 a year or only $8 per month, and you can access all of our training videos. It's a private website. Check that out. Don't forget about Amazon. Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. You want to make an Amazon purchase. You want to support my show, what Ben and I do and everything, but you don't want to spend any extra money or can't make it to a class or whatever. Whenever you're going to buy something on Amazon, buy it on my link. I'll get a little bit of a commission for it. I just bought something from myself yesterday. That's kind of cool. I buy something from myself, and I get a little commission back on what I bought. A little savings program there. But a lot of you are doing it, and thank you very much. Just go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store page, and you can make an Amazon purchase there, or several if you want. Make as many as you want. Last thing I'll say, you can also get email updates. On my website, you can... This is not the last thing. It's the second last thing I'm going to say. You can sign up for email updates. You'll get an email from me every time I make a change. The last thing I'll say is voicemails. I love voicemails. Love voicemails. Area code 210-646-1727. 210-646-1727. Leave me a voicemail. Ask a question. Make a comment. Whatever. I'll put you on the show. And... go to handgunworld.com, click the call me button if you don't want to try to memorize a phone number. That'll work too. All right, folks, thanks a lot. I appreciate you taking another little bit of time here this week to listen to this episode, 296th episode. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun. Why? Because I can't carry a cop. Remember that the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. God bless to all of you. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. Talk to you next time. Goodbye.